praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, why do you act like that? Why do you praise like that? Now, the answer to that, you need to give them the answer. The answer is, I'm on the battlefield fighting for my Lord. That's why I live the way I live, worship the way I worship. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're going to continue this morning with our study of the Old Testament. We're in the Psalms, and we'll be working in the 7th Psalm this morning, and we're going to jump off from Ephesians chapter 5 and take a text and then make our way back to the Psalms. And we're so glad to see all of our visitors here this morning. So glad to have you in the house. When you come here, you make yourself at home. We're just glad you're here. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning in verse 18. And everyone say, and be not drunk with wine. Scripture doesn't say anything at all about there being some problem with being drunk. Just says, don't be drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Now, some folks think that's strange, and they would recommend that you not do it and suggest that you might fail the psychological part of the job exam, but the application. But the Scripture says, talk to yourself. And he says, talk to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Would you say, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated, and if you're glad for his word, let's give him praise and thanks for it. Come on, high praise. If you're glad for his word. That's right. Not tepid praise, but high praise. Not small praise. This is the day for low praise. See, on Wednesday night, we have low praise. On Sunday morning, we're a little sleepy and tired, so we have low praise. Sunday night, we might have high praise. But no, every time we come into the house of God, it's high praise. Now, here's the biblical rationale. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He neither sleeps nor does he slumber. His arm is not shortened. Everything I hear about God is that he's always there, always on time, never sleeps. He is the Lord. In him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not about to change. And so he's the same every day of my life, on Wednesday, on Sunday, on Monday. So when I praise him, he's always the object of my praise. He never changes. So my praise ought not ever change unless it gets better or bigger or more extravagant. Praise the Lord. So he's worthy of high praise. And the writer, the apostle, tells us that we ought not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's the only thing I've ever seen that really works. If you want to get off drugs, you need to be filled with something. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want to get off drink, you need to be filled with something. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you miss your party nights and you miss your bar nights and you miss your fellowship with your friends around a bar or around a can of beer, I want to recommend what the apostle recommends. Just be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. I've never seen a bar room can do what the Holy Ghost does in my life. I've never had fellowship like I have fellowship in the presence of God. I've been on both. You can't tell me anything. I've been on both sides of the fence. And if you haven't been where I'm standing, you don't know about this Holy Ghost. But you need to taste and see that the Lord, he is good. My God. I've been where you've been. I've had the high you've had. You need to come try this one. Well, praise the Lord. But the apostle says, don't be drunk with wine. That's excess. You don't need to have unbridled appetites. But be filled with the Spirit. And while you're filled with the Spirit, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart unto God. The emphasis being on you need to have a song in your life, Brother Terry. You need to have a new song in your life. Well, praise the Lord. Now, in the seventh psalm, the last verse, verse 17, as David concludes, he says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now, he's talked to God about a lot of things. He's talked about his enemies. He's talked about the judgment of God. He's talked about his personal condition, and he's gone over many very important and salient parts of his experience before God. But when he gets to the end, he reduces it or distills it to this point. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. It doesn't matter what happened during the day. It doesn't matter what my friends have said, what my life is doing right now, what circumstance, what giant, what mountain, what obstacle, what trouble. It doesn't matter. I will praise the Lord, not according to what I have going on in my life, but according to his righteousness. And he's always righteousness. And we'll sing praise. Everybody say, we'll sing praise. David said, there's nothing going to take away my song. There's nothing going to rob me of my song. I'm going to always have a... Now, we've got an Old Testament witness and a New Testament witness that says if you're going to be the people of God, you've got to have a song. If you're going to be a child of God, you've got to have a song. My God. Now, somebody's going to say, well, they won't let me sing in the praise group. Well, we won't let you play the drums either, and I don't want you flying the airplane. I don't want you doing anything you're not qualified to do. But anybody can sing unto the Lord. We may take auditions for this group, but this group, you can sing all you want, as loud as you like, as often as you want. Well, praise God. But you need a song. And it's something I've always seen around God's people. There is a fluid moving of the Spirit, and there's always a song in and around the people of God. Praise God. Now, in this seventh psalm, David knows who he is. He has a firm grip on who he is, on his identity. And you need to know that. If you don't know who you are, then you... I don't mean you don't know your name and your address and... I mean, you need to know who you are. You see, if you know you're a married man, you don't commit adultery. If you know you're a responsible mother and wife, you don't run around with other men. If you know that you're a child of God, you're not going to be down at the barroom doing honky-tonk business. And it's who are you and do you know who you are? And it's more important than you think. When Jesus meets Satan in the wilderness for the great temptation, the first question out of the box is, if you are the Son of God, he's undermining his sense of identity. That's why Paul says, when you're a child, you're blown about by every wind of doctrine. Little children don't know who they are. You can raise them to be a Buddhist. You can raise them to be a Hindu. You can raise them to be a heathen. You can raise them to believe in little green men on other planets. You can teach them and make them believe anything you like because they're pliable. They don't know who they are. Young people, teenagers, it's so funny, isn't it? All of us that have been teenagers, and especially for you that are presently teenagers. It's a great cosmic joke. Because you're expressing your identity. So you're going to have something special about yourself that nobody else has. So you're going to drill a hole in your tongue. But there have always been people that talk with lisps. Nothing new in that. But everybody on the block has a stud in their tongue. You're going to put holes in your ears and holes in your nose and holes in your belly button. But the real, why are you doing that? Why are you doing it? They didn't do it in the 50s. They did a lot of stupid things in the 60s, but they didn't do that. But the reason you're doing it is because that's what everybody else is doing. So you're not carving out individuality. You're just going along with the herd. You're just like a cow, and the bell rang, and you're going. There's food out there somewhere. You're going that way. Isn't that, that's a great cosmic joke. Every generation thinks they're new and they're one. You better know who you are, though. If you don't know who you are, everything that comes along, you'll get on board the bus. If you don't know who you are, a bus comes and stops, you'll just get on it. It doesn't matter where you're going, just going somewhere. But when you get where you're going, where will you be? That's a deep philosophical question. David knew who he was. He knew who his God was. He knew. Now, as we go through this in an expositional way, you're going to see that David knows right from wrong. And he knows the cut. Isn't it a wild world that we live in where people are afraid to say this is right and this is wrong? And the reason they have an aversion to that is because they don't want anybody telling them that they're wrong. So we can get off scot-free, all of us, if we just do away with right and wrong. But David didn't believe that. He knew right and wrong, and he knew that people who lived right before God were blessed of God, and people who were sinners before God had problems with God. And all of that he covers in the Psalms. He knows what God likes, and he knows how God responds. And all of this is inherent in how he composes this song. The seventh is a psalm, and it is a song. And David's the great songwriter, and the book of Psalms is the songbook of Israel. David knew the impact of right and wrong on destiny. Can I suggest to you this morning that you need to find your song? And you need to sing your song. Now, if you've read The Eighth Habit, Covey suggests on top of the seven habits that the eighth is you need to find your voice. And I agree with him, absolutely. But I can't explain that today other than to say you need to find your song. And you need to sing your song. There is an incredible gift in That is a construct among men. That is an element or a component of life that didn't come out of hell. That came out of God. This business of singing and what it does to you. You know you're moved by music and you know you're moved by song. We could start singing Old Danny Boy here in this house and you don't even have to be Irish to cry at that. We could start singing the Star Spangled Banner and some of you would feel goosebumps and think it was the Holy Ghost. But songs move on you. And we could hook up some music right now. Some of you get lost and you wander around in Food World or somewhere because they're playing boomer music. And that was your era. And you've been transported back to high school and you just lost at the... But a song will take you back to moments in your life, and a song will make you feel feelings you hadn't felt in a long time, and it can evoke weeping and tears, and it can make you feel light and lifted up and feel some joy. And it's a powerful thing in ministry. It's a powerful part of the church. And listen to this now. All singing and all dance and all music and all instrumentation was first geared toward the worship of God. It was God's first. But then the choir leader fell out of heaven. And when he did, he brought the instrumentation and the music and the singing and the dancing with him. And so there's a dark dancing and there's a devilish music and there's a worldly type of activity in that area. But I won't let it diminish the power and the strength of the song of God and the worship of God in my life. Well, praise God. Praise God. It was an awesome thing when old Dottie Rambo took Danny Boy and she began to write and say, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous, she said, that grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my sin and saw my needs. And I mean, it was great when it was Danny Boy, but when I heard it fashioned to the kingdom of God, it blew me away, and yet does. It moves my soul. It's just a song, but you need a song in your life. I love that one, Brother Warren, but that's her song. I'm telling you today, you need your song. Not that you need to go to Nashville. You don't need to go to Nashville. Not that you need to go to some kind of a formal, contractual singing situation. But you need a song. On the job, you need a song. In your house, you need a song. Stop all that fussing and fighting and find yourself a song. Down in your neighborhood, you need a... My God, those people need a song. They need to hear somebody singing. Praise God, our world is losing its joy. It's trying to pump it up artificially. They're being drunk with wine where God designed them to be drunk on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. David knows the power of a song. Most of the Psalms, or a majority of the Psalms, are penned by David. David's first trip, his first appearance in the court of Saul, the king, is recorded in 1 Samuel 16. And in that visit, Saul had been beset by evil spirits. He had walked off into rebellion and sin. And the servant said, "An evil spirit from the Lord troubles you. What you need to do is find you somebody that's skillful in playing music and bring them. And when they play as unto the Lord, that evil spirit will have to leave." The servants knew that. It was common knowledge. They knew the power of a song. They said, "You need to get some music in this place." And it was in the construct, or within the definition of music unto God, or a song unto God. The songs of the Philistines weren't going to do any good. Not those worldly songs of the peoples around. They weren't going to accomplish anything. They said, "You need somebody that can praise God with some music." And so they brought David in. And when David began to play skillfully with his hand, and I believe he probably began to sing one of these very psalms that we're dealing with here in this time of study, the word of God said that evil spirit had to leave. There's power in a song. When there's a spirit of depression that comes upon you, or a spirit of jealousy comes on you, or some sort of a heinous, predatory spirit, you need to rise up in the middle of that and not go with the flow of that. Not let it bully you around and push you around. You need to stop and say, no, I've got a song in my life. Brother Terry's already quoted from Psalms 103. He said he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. My God, in the middle of that moment when you're beset by a spirit that's not like God, you need to remember the song of Zion. You need to begin to sing the song of God. When the captives in Babylon were down by the river Chebar, they said, "We have hanged our harps on the willows." Those that brought us off into this strange land require of us a song. They say, "Sing." They want a little entertainment. They said, "How can we sing? Jerusalem is destroyed. Our land, our people are murdered. We've been taken away from the land of our fathers. And we don't have the temple of God. And we don't have the priesthood. And we don't have the word of God. We don't have any of that." And so they hang their harps on the willows, and they said, "Let my hand forget its cunning." It was almost like a boycott. "We're not going to sing either as long as we're here. Unless God does what we want him to do, we're not going to sing. Unless I'm happy in circumstance, we're not going to sing. Unless I've got what I want and what I need." And see, all they had was an external song. All they had was the song when the temple was there. All they had was a song when they were at the house of the Lord. All they had was a song when they were at Jerusalem. But when all that was taken away, if all of your exterior structure was taken away today, would you have a song? Is it all around you, or is it down inside of you? Is it somebody else's song, or is it your song? They said, we can't sing in a strange land. I'm telling you, you better have a song that can erupt in the middle of a moment of captivity. When the hand of the enemy comes against you, you need to sing the songs of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have a song? Do you have a song to sing? You better have a song to sing. My God, we could all break up singing in this house, I think. I believe we got song all over this house right now. I know you. I've walked with you. I've seen you. Sing a song. We'll be here all night. We'll be here for days singing out this congregation. And then we'll start singing again. Praise God. Got a song that's not circumstantial in nature or not external, but it's down on the inside. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Three very powerful songs in the scripture. When the Lord has his people out in the wilderness, he teaches them a song, and it was mentioned here just the other night. The song was very simple in its lyric, but very, very, very powerful in its connection. They sang, spring up, oh well. They were getting water to come. And when they sang that, water came up out of the desert. Water came up out of rock. They were in a dry place. Anybody ever been in a dry place? They were in a place where there wasn't a free flow of the fluid nature of God. And they needed that, and they wanted that. God said, well, start singing. God said, if you start singing, it'll come. It'll come bubbling up. My God, I've walked in, come on now, I've walked in some places where I've been troubled in my spirit, and it's been a barren and a waste of a land. But if I'll just begin to sing, spring up, oh well, spring up, oh well. It's amazing what begins to happen in the middle of my circumstance. That's an old, old song, but it plays wonderfully in a brand new day. Praise God. God taught him a song in the wilderness. And life started springing up out of a rock. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat is king, they are in a time of battle, and five nations have come together against them, and they are not able to stand against the nations. And so Jehoshaphat stands before God. He and their wives and their little ones and the whole people of Judah stand before God, and they say, we don't have any strength. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the word of God came to a prophet, and the prophet spoke, and he said, you won't have to fight this battle, but the Lord will fight this battle for you. And he said, here's what you do. Get yourself some singers that will praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is not ugly. Holiness is not arduous. Holiness is beautiful. All you got to do is lose it for a little while, and you'll understand how beautiful it is. But he appointed singers, and they didn't send the chariots, and they didn't send the army. They sent the choir down. And when the choir began to sing, the word of God said, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And by the time the army got there, all of those that were against them were dead on the field of battle. And all that had touched them was a song. The only thing that had moved in that place was a song. It's more powerful than a chariot or an arrow or an army marching. Let me tell you, your song, if you find your song and you sing it, it's more powerful than anything the enemy can unfurl at you. I want you to know you need a song, the new song of God in your life, and you need to sing it. You say, I can't sing very well. I don't care if you're stuck on a monotone and you can't get up a notch or down a notch. If you just sing one note, it's still the song of your heart and the song of God. I don't care if you sound like a barn owl screeching. It's still the song of God. It doesn't matter what you sound like. It's not about quality. It's about the content and the intent of your heart. Praise God. Do you have a song? Do you have a song? Are you in trouble and you forgot your song? Let me suggest to you, you break that out. And in the middle of the trouble, praise God.
If you've got a husband that berates you and runs you down and talks bad to you and criticizes you and isn't godly in his approach to you, when he's in the middle of full-blown heart attack, high blood pressure, and he's ready to take it out on you, just begin to sing. The love of God means more to me than all. Oh, were you speaking? Were you saying something? Than all this world could ever be. Are you still talking? What's those veins on your head and your neck all about? You look like you're about to die. You better sit down here a little bit. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I mean, people on the elevator with you don't even know what to do when you're happy. And it's just for like two floors, but they are, when you're gone, who was that masked man? Just get on one day and say, beautiful day outside. Isn't this awesome? This is wonderful. If it's 105 degrees, do it. If it's raining and dreary and 40, do it. It'll blow your mind. They're not able to handle it. They want everybody to gather around and sing the old song. Oh, how miserable we all are. How awful the day is. How terrible the weather. And Uncle Sam and taxation and my neighbors and my kids and my wife and my husband and my job and the government and oh, my God. Walk up in the middle of that and say, ain't life good? Isn't it awesome to be alive? Isn't God good to us? What a beautiful day. Now come on, this is not me. This is the word of God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Even if I got a walker here. I saw you worshiping God a while ago. We don't care. We slowed down a little bit, but we still got some praise. We still got a song. Praise God. Man, I appreciate people that walk in victory. Sister Jewel's mom, Sister Shirley's grandma, and these kids' great-grandma. She's lying on her deathbed, and she's going out, and she knows she's going out, and she's told everybody. But she's still, where's my joke book? She's still telling jokes. Amber's there telling her, Granny, don't go. We want you to stay here. And she said, come go with me. I love that. Drives the devil nuts. He's trying to get you depressed. If he can steal your joy, he can steal your soul. But if he can't steal your song, he can't steal your joy. Walking through the middle of the trouble, singing a song of victory, and the devil just has to sit back and say, we're not getting to him. We're not scoring with him. We're not getting a hold of this fella. We're going to have to try something else with him. He's still got his song. She's still singing on. In the middle of the darkest night, we've got chapter and verse for it. They're chained to the wall of the prison. And at midnight, they begin to sing. And at midnight, and the Bible said, and the prisoners heard them. You know why God doesn't put a little shelter around you and why you're not excused from everything the world's excused from? Because God puts you here the same thing Jesus did. He walked through everything we'll walk through, and yet he kept his victory and his holiness and his godliness. Now he's put his church here, and the storm's going to come to your house, and the trouble's going to come to your life. but the prisoners in the next cell are going to hear you singing, and they're going to say, what in the world is that? They're suffering the same thing I'm suffering, but they're singing. And in the middle of the night, something began to shake in that prison house, and all the doors. In your song, you've got the power not only to keep your spirit, not only to maintain your joy, but to open the prison doors of those that are incarcerated near you, to let the chains of bondage break off of those. Our world needs a church that can sing in a storm. Our world needs a church that can sing in the trouble. Yeah, we pay taxes, but we sing. Yeah, we got to get up and go to work just like you do, but we sing. Yeah, we sweat just like you do, and we bleed just like you do, and our washing machine breaks down just like yours, and our car gets sick just like yours, and our kids get sick just like yours, but we sing down at the hospital and down at the garage and down at the places of... Same problem, but a different song. You need to try this song of God. You need to have a song, and you need to sing it. My God, could we just worship him a little? And if you really wanted to, you might want to break up in a little song here. Whatever on your heart right now, whatever you'd like to sing, a free-for-all, just singing as unto the Lord. Sing in the devil's face. Sing in the face of the trouble. Praise God. Identify this song. I gotta be able to do this. Can't do this and smile. How's that make you feel? But how about this? Same, relatively the same melody with a few minors stuck into it. Now it becomes a little sad, like, dirge, dirge, dirge your boat gently down the sewer. Well, that's what you're doing when you're standing here saying, you don't know like I know. You're not doing yourself or anybody else a bit of good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're on location. I'm glad you're moving. But you got to get it up in the positive column now. Come on. Won't do you any good to sing a song. There's a tear in my beer. It won't do you a bit of good to sing a song about how she's left you and she's gone and how you're lost and lonely and it'll never be the same. You need to put your faith in God. You need to put your faith in God. You need to sing the song of God. My God, somebody ought to just shout a little bit right now. Just a little bit. My God. Sing a song. Song of joy. A song of hope. Song of love. A song of God. Come here. Come here, Autumn. Come on up. Got a foot that looks like a duck-billed platypus. It really does, doesn't it? We went and passed out flyers yesterday for revival. Some of you weren't there. But Autumn was there. She had a cast on her foot. Y'all wait for me. She was knocking doors in the sweltering heat, through the wind, the adverse circumstances. There were dogs out there. You had to speak to them in Spanish. Alto perro. Is that right? She stayed with us the whole journey. She persevered. Not like some of you that didn't even show up. Some people came with pain in their bodies, with obstacles in their way. Ha! Toro! But not you. You weren't there with your two good feet. But see, we don't do that. That's a song of condemnation. And condemnation is right out of the depth of hell. And Autumn was here, and she was hurting, but she kept right on. She's worshiping this morning better than some of you. But that's emotional manipulation. I really am crying. But we don't do that. We're like, okay, she had a bum foot. She came anyway. We're glad. You stayed home. You had stuff to do. We're glad. You had a job to do. You had a house to do. You had a yard to do. Nobody. Now you better get this. You better understand this. The only song that works in the house of God is a song that says we're all part of one body. We all serve the same God. We all carry the same load. We all get a penny a day at the end of the trip. Some of you don't sing because you're worried about what somebody else is doing or not doing. Some of you don't sing because you think you're a martyr in the kingdom of God. My God, would you go out back and bury that martyr song and learn to sing the song of God? People hear you sing, they never want to come to church. Onward, Christian soldiers. We're so happy serving God. Nobody's buying that. Nobody wants that. Nobody's coming. They'll see you. They'll go the other way. By God, you ought to tell them, I've got a song. God's the best thing that ever happened to me. I've got a song. I've got joy, 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 joy. I've got a song. You need a song. 2005, there's trouble on every side. There's natural disaster like the world has never seen before. The prophecy of the word of God is coming to pass. You need a song. You need a victorious, uplifting, joyful song that you can sing down at the graveyard, that you can sing in the desperate time of trouble. Praise God. We're never going to get to the seventh psalm in an expositional sense today. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The song not only impacts the external, not only defeats the armies of the enemy and drives away evil spirits, not only does it break down the chained walls of that binds you, but the song affects the internal. Have you read where the word of God says the power of life and death is in your tongue? Have you read in James where the word of God declares that the tongue is like a rudder and that you set your destiny by what you say with your mouth? I'm a loser. That's all I'll ever be. And that's all you'll ever be. You got the rudder in your hand. It's your tongue. And you're guiding your life down a stream of depression and self-defeat. You need to open up your mouth and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to sing a song out of the pages of the Word of God. Your song not only affects the external, but it affects the internal. Praise God. What you say is in a loop. The mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. But the heart is largely full of the content that has come forth out of the mouth. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you plant within yourself is what grows up within you. And notably, what others say is powerful, but what you say yourself, because you can say anything you want about me, but if I block it and shield it with another word, a positive word, a good word, a godly word, what you say has no effect on me. I am the only person that really has the power to plant in my life. Well, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, where we started, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Because as you do, your heart is lifted up. Your mind is impressed. The burden seems lighter. The trouble seems smaller. You've got the power to do that with the words of your mouth, the lyrics of your own personal song. You need to begin to sing that. I know you want the preacher to drag you out, but the preacher can't be there all the time. I know you want somebody else to drag you out. I know you want the worship in the church to drag you out, but you're only in church on Sundays and Wednesdays and sometimes on Saturdays, but on a Tuesday morning, you got to be able to pull yourself out by what you've got inside of you. You need to open your mouth and sing a song of victory. Praise God. And you can do that. It was something that they were aware of in these passages. Psalms 100, you come before his presence with singing. Did you know you can sing your way into the presence of God? Do you know in the middle of a hard work day, you can sing your way into the presence of God with a song of joy? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Psalms 103, Brother Terry opened up the service with it this morning. He's put in my mouth and my heart a new song, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it. It was put in you so that others could experience it and that you would be the light of God on the earth. You need to sing your song. Now, something really interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want to take a look at that this morning. To all those who don't believe in speaking in tongues, we make no apologies because we talk in tongues like Chinamen around here. Because everybody in the book of Acts did. Praise God. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you will too. But from the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes some startling declarations. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. He that's in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Everybody say, he edifies himself. Now, people who misguidedly go to chapters 12, 13, and 14 to try to build some sort of a theological premise against speaking in tongues have walked into a biblical explanation of what all these people were doing. They were all speaking in tongues. That's why these chapters are there. People that received what God had for them, they all talked in tongues. And many of those in the adversarial position, they'll go here and they'll say, you see there, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself, and that's bad. They're talking in terms of ego and being puffed up. And see, yeah, you all you tongue talkers, you're just building yourself up, talking in tongues like you do. But edify means to build up. When you talk in tongues, Paul is simply making a passing comment on the fact, and he's comparing it with preaching, and the entire premise is this, that if I took the pulpit this morning and spoke in tongues for 35 minutes thus far, you might have been briefly entertained, but after a while it gets really monotonous and boring to hear somebody else speak in tongues. And it doesn't lift you up. And the comparison that he's making, or the premise that he's projecting, is that you when you're speaking to someone to communicate, you speak in a known language like English, or like they did in the Bible, in Greek. And that's easy to understand. But I can't escape the power of what he does say, though. He says, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost so that you could mark it down on the calendar and say, I got the Holy Ghost on June the 6th and such a year. He gave it to you so that it would lift you up, so that you could utilize it. It is the power of God in the Spirit of God. It is the kingdom of God within you. It's not, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It was made to use. Talk in tongues, talk in tongues, talk in tongues. It lifts you up when you're down, talk in tongues. It builds you up when you're heartbroken, talk in tongues. It'll edify you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse 15 is really interesting. Paul's giving the premise in verse 14. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? What's the solution? What's the conclusion? I'll pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing in the spirit and I'll sing in the understanding. Praise God. Paul says, God has given you something internally that will lift you up. And it's the power of God in you to speak in other tongues. But Paul said, not only will I speak in other tongues, but I'm going to step it up a dimension. I'm going to step into this thing with wild abandon. I'm not just going to get off down in a huddled up place all by myself like I'm ashamed of the fact I've got the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to get out in an open, airy place, and I'm going to begin to exercise that in song. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you just attach a melody to it. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today, but if you don't sing in tongues, it's an apostolic form of behavior. There's part of this package you're not exercising. You need to sing in tongues. Next time you're singing in the shower, sing in tongues. If you need a little privacy to do that and feel comfortable about it. But when you're driving down the road in your city, sing in tongues. When you're walking through your house or through your neighborhood, sing in. You say, well, how do I do that? Just put a little melody to it. You do that, it'll just take off. It'll go all by itself. You'll almost be like somebody standing on the side watching something else. The natural mind is not yielded to God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither need can it be. Paul said, you don't understand it. It's like it's not coming from here and out. It's coming from down in here. It's a river of living water springing up out of your... You need a song in your life. But I'm challenging you to go beyond just a good, godly, positive song. I'm challenging this church, step up to the next level and start singing in tongues. Sing in tongues in your house. Sing in tongues in the church. Well, let me ask for a show of you. You need to, now, let's be specific with the language. What is it then? Everybody say, I will... pray with the Spirit. Does the Spirit make Paul pray? Whose will? Paul's will. You pray in tongues when you want to. I will sing with the Spirit. Whose will? You sing in tongues anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. In the doctor's office. Paul suggests that if you're around people that don't understand, you don't do this because they think you're a barbarian. So you need to be around friendlies like these. And when you are, you can just talk in tongues to your heart's content. Well, praise God. Just for a moment here, I want everybody in the house that has the Holy Ghost to just lift up your hands and begin to speak in tongues. That's right, that's right, that's right. Paul said, I thank God I talk in tongues more than all of you. It's a good thing. You edify. You lift up. Now, go ahead and just put a melody to it and let it flow. This is a workshop. Oh, you apostolic people, you shouldn't be struggling with this. We're way behind the curve of revival. If you can't just start cranking out a song in a heavenly language, you need this song. You need a song. Your world needs this song. Let's stand together. Could I have a musician? I'm going to quit. I lost about half of you there. What song are you singing? How are you singing your song? Do you have the capacity to lift yourself up in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a problem? Do you have a song? Do you need somebody else? Praise God. Praise God. Brother Cedric, you got a song? What's your song?
I got a lot of them.
Well, I gotta hear one, though. What's the song?
All of ye sighing.
No, I don't want you singing tongues, man. No, I want a song we can understand.
Oh, okay.
We're teaching here.
My God is an awesome God. He reigns. From heaven up.
All right, that's right, that's right. But Tony, you got a song? Oh, yeah, you do. You better got to have a song. Come on. Now, come on now. If you, oh, there we go.
If you're happy and you know it.
All right. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and... Praise God. Just straight, you got a song?
I will praise your Lord. The Most High God, I will praise your Lord.
Praise God.
The Most High God.
There it is. There it is. Got a song, Brother Mike?
I will sing hallelujah. I will sing, oh Lord. I will sing hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are the source of my supply. Lord, I praise and I lift you high. I will sing hallelujah. Oh Lord.
There's a song for every season. There's a song for every battle. A song for every problem. There's a song that'll lift you up out of any pit that you're in. When God picks you up out of the pit, don't you tell me you don't have a song. When God lifted you up out of the pit, He gave you a new song. You just need to start using that. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that song come out of your mouth. Come on, come on. If you're in the house this morning, you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've never received it. You've never talked in tongues. It's a promise. The Word of God said, "He'll." If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all those that ask Him? God will give you the Holy Ghost right here this morning. If you want it, come. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the cleansing of your sins, come. We've got water in the house. We'll put you down in the name of Jesus. If you've been warring, I want you to come down to this altar and sing a song to God and to yourself and to the devil. Sing a song of victory. Sing a song of overcoming. Come on. All over the house right now. Let's pray. Let's sing.
Well, I was glad when they said unto me,